welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversations for practical Christian living. Today, we're on episode number 7, and we're going to be talking about the cost of discipleship. We are your hosts, Michael Brazier, and sitting across from me is Art Nurnberg. So, last week, we talked about the call of discipleship and Jesus calling Matthew and to follow him. And this week, I thought we should talk about what it means to pick up your cross and follow Jesus, because that section of scripture found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke is really important, and Jesus connects it because it's his most common call is follow him, but he connects it to the cross. So let's review first what we talked about last week and what is a disciple.
Okay. Disciple just means you're a learner. That's an important feature of all we're going to talk about. It just means you've attached yourself. That's what it meant in that day. It was someone who attached themselves to a scholar, to a leader, to a person to learn from them. So that's all that is involved. You're just a learner.
So it's a learner. But then when Jesus, let me just read the passage. We'll go to Matthew, because we were in Matthew last week. So it's Matthew 16:24-28. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And it goes on to talk about whoever would lose or save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But we're going to focus on that first part, and that is, let him deny himself. So we'll kind of break it up into those three phrases. Okay. So let's talk about what it means to deny himself or ourselves for the sake of following Jesus. What is Jesus talking about?
Okay, there are different approaches to it, but the word to deny simply means to turn your back on somebody. That's what Peter does. There comes a point where he's trying to follow Jesus. He's in that courtroom. Then all of a sudden he realizes the implications of being there, of how much this could cost him. And being identified with Jesus becomes inconvenient. And so he turns his back on his friend. He turns his back and leaves. That's what it means to deny. And it puts a picture up, which pictures you speaking to yourself, where your way of life, again, we were thinking about you come a crossroads there. You have a plan. You have a purpose. This is what your whole being is aiming towards. Then you meet Jesus at this corner, and he has a new plan. And he's going that way, and you're going this way. And now you have to make a decision. Are you going to be the friend of Jesus, or are you going to be the friend of yourself? And so he says this, that if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to stop being your own friend. Start being my friend. But that it's not self-hatred. It's nothing like that. It's just the fact you had a plan. It's this whole big plan that I had for my life. And he says, hey, if you want to follow me, you just got to turn your back on that as a controlling feature in your life. So that's the first picture. Pretty strong picture.
Yeah. So it's taking your hands off of your life and your desires and your plan, following Jesus on his. And yeah, so that's like the first big picture that Jesus kind of communicates, but he takes it further and he says, but you have to also take up your cross.
Right.
And I guess when I was in class with you and you gave us like the whole spiel about what it meant to the first century listeners about what the cross means, because to us, the cross is so much more of a, people get it tattooed on them. They wear the cross necklace. They're in the churches. Yeah. They're on the steeples. So like we have this idea of a cross, but it's so disassociated from the reality of what a cross actually was. Right. So what was the first century person who was listening to Jesus? What did they understand the cross to be?
Well, that's what you were saying. Jesus could have been accused of being grotesque here, being vulgar.
Yeah.
The cross was part of the Roman Empire. Jews hated the Roman Empire. It was the way the Roman Empire kept people subdued. It was a terrible death. It was a humiliating death. It took everything away from you. It was painful, but it was also humiliating. It was repulsive. And in the crowds, that it was not an uncommon thing. That's another feature that we sometimes think that Jesus died on a cross, and that was some unique situation. This was a common thing. Almost everybody in that crowd had probably seen somebody crucified. There probably were people in that crowd who had friends or family members that had been crucified. We don't know that, but it was that common.
Yeah, okay. It was likely. It wasn't in there like some place or time where like they crucified thousands and thousands at a time.
Yeah.
And later on. And so like it was so common that, and it, yeah. It was really grotesque. So
everybody knew exactly what it meant.
Yeah.
It meant if you took up a cross, your life was over. Yeah. It ended right then. And then, and very often, the execution of that judgment against you was done fairly rapidly. Mm-hmm. You know, it was right on the spot. Again, you see over the Lord, he was brought before Pilate, and it wasn't a week. It wasn't a week in jail. There's no appeals court. There's just, there it is, and you're dead. Point being that if Jesus says that, and he speaks to us and says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to have to take up a cross. That can't mean anything short of, and it would have meant it dramatically, that my life, as I've done it, is over. So a man who's going to a cross, it doesn't matter what he had planned for that afternoon, or what his projection was for next year's income, or how he intended to live his retirement, or anything else. Of course, that's new. That's our day and time. But Nevertheless, it's all over. That doesn't make any difference whatsoever. That is out of the picture now. And what's in the picture is where he's going. And so Jesus is using a really, really brutal and dramatic, can't miss the point picture that if you're going to follow me, that's how much it. That's the difference. It's between where you were before and where you are now as you're following as a disciple. Is that serious? And it's hard to diminish that. We've gotten used, as you say, we've gotten used to the idea of the cross. We wear it around our necks and all
even
the rest.
Like people who aren't Christians, they have tattooed all over them or on around their neck. And it's
and so, it means something nice. It's not nice.
Yeah.
It's not nice. It's an instrument of death, and it was brutal death, and it was humiliating death, and it was despised. It would have been gut wrenching what he was saying, but they would know what he was saying.
Yeah. And this is all pre Jesus going to the cross as well.
Right.
And when Jesus went to the cross, he gave a much fuller meaning to our understanding of what it means to take up your cross and follow Jesus.
And it should be noted there that our taking up the cross and his cross are completely separate thoughts. Yeah. This is he's not referring to himself here at all. This doesn't have anything to do with what took place at the cross. This has to do with our dying.
With us.
Yeah.
Dying to us. Now, people can tend to allegorize the cross or they can say like, this is my cross to bear when they're talking about sickness, or you can even do it in jest, like, oh, I have to do there as my cross to bear.
Right. Yeah.
What? That's not really the picture that Jesus is communicating in terms of discipleship. What is Jesus communicating to the crowd that if you want to follow him and you have to take up your cross, it's more than just a momentary taking up. It's a lifelong thing. So what is Jesus getting and how, I guess, one more thing, how do we understand it in our present day?
Yeah, it's very unfortunate that that phrase has come to be used the way it is. Because we tend to think, okay, I've got bad health, it's a cross I have to bear. That separates it from what the Lord's saying. The cross he's talking about is you take it up. It's not inflicted on you. You're not forced to do this. He says, if you want to do it, there's the cross, you take it up. So to apply it with respect, I mean, it's the common usage, but it isn't a biblical usage to apply it with respect to things which I had no control over, misses the whole point. Cross is something I do have control over. I have a life in front of me. And again, we were all in that place. I had plans for my life. The Lord comes and speaks to me. And when he spoke to me and calls me to himself, those plans came to an end. Hmm. I mean, for me, a whole lot of them. They don't always all come to an end. But what he's saying is you have to be ready for them to come to an end, because I'm going to teach you where real life is, and it's not where you thought it was. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not, it's an allegory, but it's a very strong picture, and it speaks directly to something I do in an act of my will. I take this up, and it's not something inflicted on me. It's not something I just run into and happens to me.
Now, is it... Well, you want to talk a little bit about the perfection of taking up the cross. So do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, let me this is where a lot of the problems come up among Christians as to whether this is, can you ask a person to do that?
Yeah.
Doesn't that demand perfection? And no, it doesn't demand perfection. A couple different illustrations. You could say that if I want to learn how to swim, I have to get in the water. Getting in the water doesn't make me a swimmer, but you can't learn how to swim if you won't get in the water. Okay. I like to liken it to a person joining the army. Okay. When you join the army, a real thing takes place. You sign this piece of paper. Before you sign that piece of paper, this is on a volunteer basis. Before you sign that piece of paper, you're free to do what you want to do with your life. Once you put your name on this piece of paper, your life belongs to the army. If you don't show up, you'll be thrown in jail.
Yeah.
Because you are now in a new situation. You join the army in order for them to, just simplify it, to make you a soldier. But signing on this dotted line does give away your life, but it doesn't make you a soldier. So when we're saying it, these things are required. The Lord says that, hey, if you're not ready to let go of your life and the plans you have for your life, I can't teach you, and I won't teach you. Both sides are there. I won't take you on because it's worthless.
Yeah.
Because sooner or later, you're going to grip this.
Yeah.
You're going to hold on to it. You're going to divide because you believe that life is somewhere else. He wants to take us to the path of life. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
And the path of life is not on anything that we had thought it was. So, but we need to make a distinction between becoming a disciple and being fully discipled and sanctified. Sanctification keeps on going.
Yeah.
Because we learn more about who he is, and we learn about more of who we are.
Yeah.
And as we do that, then there comes new need to, okay, I'll surrender that too. But at the beginning, I let go. I don't know what I'm letting go of, but I'm ready to say whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to follow you.
So it's a definitive choice to,
right,
to pick up your cross.
Right.
It's not a passive choice. It's
no.
not an occasional choice.
No.
It's a call on your life to radically change your life, yeah, to follow Jesus.
Which you reinforce every day.
That's, yeah,
what Luke adds to the thought there. Mm-hmm. As he translates it, he adds to the thought that you take up your cross daily. In other words, this is a commitment I make at the beginning. This is a path that I adopt the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Now it's every day I'm choosing Jesus instead of myself.
Yeah. So when a follower of Jesus wants to pursue the Lord, and how do they practically take up their cross? If it's not the occasional, which I said, or it's not like the momentary inflictions of life, like sickness or whatever, how do we practically make that choice to follow Jesus each day?
Okay, you make the choice by saying, okay, I will follow.
Yeah.
You carry that out by listening to what he has to say. That's where you get back into the Word of God. That's where you start to learn. Okay,
yeah,
now I'm ready to learn whatever you want me to learn. Where am I going to find that? Well, if you go to the Army, they'll find it from a drill sergeant. If you go to the swimming pool, then you're going to find it from whoever's the instructor there. But in this case, you're going to find it from the Lord through his word. And now we come to a place where I begin to restructure, as he instructs me, my life around what he says life is about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the collisions occur. All right. That's where we start the sanctification process. Then I could have, in this experience beforehand, thought the money had life to it. And he starts to cut across, and he starts to talk to me about stewardship with the money instead of me having the money, and what it means to live a frugal life, and what it means to live for, to share with other people. I won't want to do that. And that's where I run against who I am. At that point, I take up the cross again and I say, okay, your will, not my will. You're doing that continuously. But you're doing that as you're studying the Word of God and as you're interacting with the Lord, that this is what he has to say. This is where it goes.
Counting the cost of following Jesus means that you have to, in a sense, evaluate your entire life, right? Or what does that mean?
Yeah, you have to. You have to evaluate a lot, but you still, again, back to what we were saying before, you really don't know what you're giving up. You just have to say, you know, I know that life is in him. Mm-hmm. And you do have to think through, because the Lord has a way of putting his finger on where my life is. Okay, so that for Levi, it's, you know, you either follow me or you're going to be a tax collector. Which is it? You know, where's life? In having money or knowing me?
Yeah.
For Peter and Andrew, it's a different life. Their life is out there on a boat.
Yeah.
And it's their family and all the rest of it. He says, okay, follow me. So a rich young ruler, he had a lot of money. He had a lot of prestige. He says, that doesn't count to me. The reason you have to do that is because sooner or later, those things are going to come up. So Lord, he brings them up right at the beginning. You might as well. Mm-hmm. That's why I see the parable of the sower. He sows those seeds. Some seed fails because nobody understands it. But some seed fails because people didn't take the time to think about what was involved in this. And then they begin the path following the Lord. Then they realize that people don't like Jesus. And they say, whoa, if it's going to cost me that. See, they want life in people's, part of their life is knowing the prestige of people appreciating them. Mm. They give up. And it says that, the second one with the thorns, it says that, the cares of this life. And then it says the deception of riches. Mm. They wanted to follow Jesus, but they also wanted to have money. And he says, it fails because... And one of those terrible things that the Word of God is choked out by that insatiable desire for money and things and cares. So Jesus is real simple about it. He just right at the very beginning says, hey, here it is. Yeah. You might as well face it now, because sooner or later you're going to face it. And it's a costly piece. Yeah.
Yeah. The call of the cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. So when we begin to follow Christ, give up our life, and then we begin to have this communion with Christ. Mm-hmm. And I guess this is where I wanted to spend the rest of our time, was that passage in Matthew 11, where it talks about Jesus giving us rest as we lay aside our life, our burdens, and take on his burden. Right. So I think they're connected, those two.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read that passage as well. So the whole thing is like Matthew 11, 25 through 30. We're going to just come to the end of it. Verse 28. It says, and Jesus is talking to the crowds of people. And he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, and this is kind of in contrast to the Pharisees, who are adding all these things on for the people, and their burden is not easy. But when we come to Jesus and we come to him and we take up our cross and we follow him, there is an aspect in which our lives, our burden is now easier because we've taken off the burden. We've looked for that life elsewhere.
Right.
And now we find life in Jesus.
Right.
So how does that phrase impact our daily living?
Okay. Again, there's back to that feature. The Lord came that we might have life and have it abundantly. All right. We're looking for life out of experiences on this earth, one way or the other, whether it's people's respect or whether it's a sensual experience or a traveling experience or a career or anything else. We're looking for life. We're asking that to give us life. If we do that, we wear out because it just doesn't come through. Mm. You know, it's temporary, but it doesn't come through. Okay. When the Lord, the reason he says take up the cross is so you can follow him. Mm. It's always important to note in those passages, we tend to stop with the take up the cross and try to pound on the take up the cross. Okay. That's a real thing. But the point of taking up the cross is so that I can join him in fellowship on the path that he's on. He is involved in things on this earth. He's alive on this earth. He wants me to know life on this earth. But that life is going to be found, according to John, in knowing him.
Yeah.
As I know him. So he's drawing me into this place where I know him. And he wants to do that by linking my life to his life. Because that's the picture there, that take my yoke. Again, there are two different approaches to that. That could be that I take on the yoke and he's controlling, right? Mm-hmm. But probably the better picture and the one that fits closer to what was taking place in those days is the training of a new oxen by attaching it to an older oxen. This one already knows the ropes. This one's going to learn, and they learn by being linked together. And so the Lord says, hey, here's what the blessedness of it is. You get to know God. And as you get to know the Lord, walk with him, then it becomes so easy. Because, you know, we with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into his likeness. As you're walking with him, you start to become like him. Because you're hearing his voice, and that's when the rest comes. It's not by living you're going to have discipline, but by laying out a disciplined life, it's by walking with the Lord. Hmm. And that's what he's after. He's not after you taking up a cross.
Yeah.
He's after you walking with him. But in order to get there, he knows that if you don't take up that cross, if you don't say goodbye to all this, instead of walking with him, you'll keep going back to it.
Yeah.
All right. There's those guys that in the Bible they came a certain distance and then they realized, this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Judas is one of them. And then they turn back. Hmm. So you have to deal with that. But it's that's a beautiful picture of the way I think it works out in life. All we have to do is finally, we do all this in the past, but our present day life, what is it? It's walking with the Lord. That's why we read the word to find out, here's his voice to me. Mm-hmm. Now I want to walk with him. I want to be like him.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So I guess in review, the big points are that the Christian life, there's first following Jesus. Taking up your cross means total allegiance. So the Christian life of following Jesus is not a hobby.
No.
And it's not a cultural experience. So if you can remove it from culture and it changes, then it's probably not Christianity. Yeah. So it means a radical change of your existence. And you put it, you're on a path and you're going this way and Jesus is going this way. And you go and you meet him. And if you choose to follow him, then you go that way with him. It's extreme,
right?
Because the call is for your whole life. Jesus uses a gruesome picture, and it's a total commitment. And then finally, it does bring about life. That the cross brings life in Jesus? And so Jesus' call to die to self, it's a call to live in him.
Amen.
So, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that's the key here is to remember that that's Jesus' goal. He wants you to walk with him, and he wants to give you real life. He wants to give a person real life, but he can't do it while the person is looking somewhere else for life. So he asks him to face this at the beginning. Is life going to be found in me, or is it going to be found in, and we're all on the same path out there. What we're dying to is the same in one sense for everybody.
Yeah.
Which way, what do you believe? That's why it's a great act of faith at the very beginning. that I believe, okay, I'm going to follow you. You have the words of life. When Peter said that, you know, who else will we go to? You have the words of life. He was acknowledging that I don't know where life is completely because he was still learning just a little bit. But it's not out there. Yeah. So I'm going to stick with you. And then we have the privilege. It's the great privilege. This is the beauty of Christianity. You have the privilege of walking with God, knowing the Lord the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So it's really tremendous cool. life. Then it's rest.
Yeah, and then there's rest in him.
Yeah.
As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, X. You can listen to all of our previous episodes on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you again next week. May the Lord bless you.